machine learning software can be applied to various marketing channels, including social media and email. The software predicts which consumers are more likely to convert and adjusts personal creative copies on its own. So depending upon the browsing pattern, which models the customer is spending more time on. So you know that even, you know, when you have a web page, today we are able to measure, you know, from which site the people have come onto your company's website, on which page they have dwelled for a longer time. So you know exactly, for example, if you're selling an automobile, then which model they are focusing on. Are they looking for a mid-sized or a premium vehicle? Are they looking, you know, for an expensive vehicle, or are they looking for an economical vehicle? So a lot of information can be gathered through machine learning about the customer. And based on his profiling or based on the segmentation of the customer, you can then, so you may already have creatives which are created. You know, there are creatives which focus on comfort or on safety or economy. So you can then use the creative, you know, that means the machine learning will use a creative which is most appropriate for the customer, meaning to say, which will be most convincing for the customer to result in a sale. So the learning case study, Harley Davidson is a brand to make use of machine learning software. Now, Harley Davidson, all of us know, they are one of the very famous motorbike company, and they became famous because the American police used to use Harley Davidson. And these are mostly high powered bikes, very powerful bikes. So they have become a kind of a icon. So the company analyzed customer data to determine the behavior of previous customers whose actions were positive in terms of purchasing and spending. So here they looked at how did the customers behave, you know, when they interacted through online, you know, let's say the web store, etc., in terms of purchasing and spending. Spending could be also on accessories, etc., okay, more than the average amount of time on browsing through websites. With this information, the created segment of customers and scaled up the test campaign accordingly. So what they were doing is they analyzed the customer or segmented the customer based on his browsing behavior, and they made offers to him, or they approached him from the customer's priority point of view. That means what the customers were looking for. If he was simply looking for a Harley Davidson brand but was not willing to spend more, then maybe he was offered a solution which was, you know, maybe a lower powered bike, or somebody who had, you know, a passion and was willing to spend a lot more money from the browsing behavior, then they would offer him a solution accordingly. So this is one of the case study how machine learning helps. So results show that Harley Davidson increased its sales by 40% with the use of machine learning software. The brand also had a 2,930% increase in leads, with 50% of those from high converting lookalikes. That means, you know, the segmenting we are talking about. So they are identifying lookalikes, meaning behavior of the successful buyers. So when they found a similar behavior, what we call here as the lookalike, they made changes to the offer they made, or the web pages they showed, or the options that they showed to the customer. So identified by artificial intelligence and machine learning. So this is how Harley Davidson, increased the sales and also converting the leads to actual sales. Coming to cloud logistics. So cloud logistics gives us the huge advantage of storing valuable information in the supply chain. An integrated global overview is being created to the benefit of all logistics and transport companies. Thanks to the cloud system, the whole process is easier and cheaper, from ordering to invoicing. So in cloud logistics, a group of logistic companies come together and they are offering you a solution on the cloud logistics. And you can avail of the services. So it gives you options. Like, for example, if I have to ship material, like say from Mumbai to, let's take a country, Europe. Let's say I want to ship something to Barcelona. It will give me options of various lines when they are going to be, sailing from the Nhava Sheva port in Mumbai. What will be the freight charges if I choose to ship through them? And what will be the transit time? That means what will be the ETA at Barcelona? So depending upon my appetite for the kind of freight that I'm willing to pay, the urgency, that means the time within which I want to ship the material. So it could be that, let us say that my production has been slightly delayed and I have to reach the consignment a little faster. Now, in the good old days, what used to happen is that if I miss a shipment, the company, the retailer to whom I'm supplying, expected that I bear the effort cost, at least for part of the quantity, to supply the material to the company. Now what happens is I have an option. I can choose a shipping line where the freight cost may be slightly higher, but which has less number of stops en route and the transit time is lesser. So I can ship the material a little later, but the ETA at Barcelona will be earlier compared to maybe some of the other lines. So this kind of cloud logistics gives you the benefit to compare the cost, the services, the ETD and the ETA, and help me meet my goals. So thanks to the cloud system, the whole process is easier and cheaper from ordering to invoicing. With the development of such computing calculations, where data processing becomes closer to the cloud, services will become more accessible. Now, cloud computing is also, where the data, instead of being stored on servers, physical servers in your premises, they are stored in the cloud. Now, basically, what is a cloud? There are many, companies which are offering these platforms, the cloud computing platforms. They have like people like Google or Microsoft, Amazon. They have got servers which are spread across the world. You do not know where your data is being stored. And these data are stored based on certain algorithms. You do not have to be worried about it. It's the only thing that physically you don't have any servers. You don't have to bother about keeping the hardware, taking care of data security, taking care of downtime, failures, because these platforms, the cloud computing platforms, also offer facility to back up the data, mirror the data, so that there is never a loss of data or never interruptions in the processing. The only thing which can interrupt your operations is, suppose the internet goes down, then you will not be able to access the data, and which we have faced. So if you find that your internet provider, where your operations are, generally these are very reliable lines, but we have known, especially in India, that once in a while they do fail, and when they fail, you may be for a short period of time handicapped. Of course, there may be ways of getting around this kind of failures, but they do occur. That's the whole point. So with the development of such computing calculations, where data processing becomes closer to the cloud, services will become more accessible. Coming to Internet of Things. So Internet of Things is one of the enormous benefits for the logistics business. And how we will see this? It allows virtually every site to be connected via the internet to maximize the traceability and transparency of the entire process. from departure from supplier to delivery to the final destination. IoT is a revolution that offers many functions to customer, supplier, logistics, etc. Briefly to tell you about the Internet of Things. So one example of Internet of Things is the GPS system, where we can track where the material is. And even whenever it reaches one of the intersection points, etc., you know where the material is. The other thing we talked about was, you know, the sensors. That means we are able to track what is the temperature, humidity, any other pressure, any other parameter which needs to be monitored. So Internet of Things will allow you access to this information. Another example. So you have an air conditioning plant. It's mission critical because the plant is actually taking care of a facility where temperature has to be very strictly monitored. You cannot afford to have a downtime or a breakdown of the system. So in such a case, companies are now building IoT into their systems, which monitors the operation of the air conditioning system. That means the temperature of the compressors or any other rotating parts, etc., the vibration levels. So imagine if there is any failure, it immediately will be detected and the data is communicated to the parent company. And the parent company can monitor, and generally they will get an alert if there is anything abnormal. So they know immediately that there is some problem which has developed or is developing in the equipment, and they will take steps to immediately correct it. In few cases, it can be also corrected through the internet. That means, example, there is a filtration system or a RO system, and you find that the pressure in the system is building up because the membrane is getting choked, is getting blocked. So remotely, somebody monitoring this system can initiate something called as a flushing operation or a reverse flow operation to unclog the membrane, the reverse osmosis membrane, and thus correct the system so that the system will start performing again to the full capacity or full efficiency. So Internet of Things, even devices like, you know, you have this smart AC which you can control from your mobile phone. So while you are driving down to the office, you can switch on the air conditioner, and when you reach home, the temperature is already, you know, down, so you don't have to suffer high temperature, you know, when you enter the home and switch on the AC. So all these smart devices are basically operating on IoT. You can set the temperature, you can even decide when to switch on, you can change the mode of operation. So whether you want it to be in the cool mode, on the fan, or fan mode, etc. So these are smart devices. Basically, these are Internet of Things. So now we come to the next one, which is blockchain. Blockchain is a technology for data decentralization. They also say that blockchain is nothing but a digital ledger. Clear transparency is achieved and valuable information is collected for all participants along the delivery path. So it collects the information and it is distributed, so everyone can see the information. There is very high level of transparency, very high level of security. The high technology enables the rapid development of global trade and the increase of GDP. Blockchain-based schemes that play an important role in tracking and allow customers to perform a number of product checks, their authenticity, compliance, and so on. So one of the, like I said, it's a digital ledger. It's distributed, so the data is not, parked in one place alone, but it is parked across various nodes. And it is also known as a blockchain because it consists of blocks which are all connected together or a chain together. And one of the examples of blockchain is your cryptocurrency. So when you buy or sell the cryptocurrencies, all these transactions are actually tracked by blockchain. So they are recorded, you can track all the transactions, etc. Another example of blockchain is increasingly nowadays, there are products, like for example, you are buying a garment. Now, some of the US retailers or European retailers, they say that the product is sustainable, it is made from recycled fabric. So how do you know whether it is really sustainable? Again, they use the blockchain technology here. So there is an app and you have to scan the barcode or the QR code which is there on the product. And it will immediately tell you where did the original raw material come from. So suppose it's a cotton fabric, it will tell you that the cotton came from which part of India, you know. If there is a recycled component, where did the recycled component come from? Where was the cotton processed? Where was the yarn processed? Where the fabric was made? Where the garment was made? How it was transported, you know, to the country where you are purchasing it? And within the country, how it has come to the retail setup from where you have bought this particular garment? So the entire chain of events can be authenticated. And for doing this, blockchain is being used. Improving efficiency and security along the supply chain is tantamount to improving the performance of all logistics services. You can imagine cryptocurrency, it's money. And there you are using blockchain because it offers you very high security. Also blockchain, they claim that cannot be tampered with. So nobody can go and do a fraud, unlike in the conventional system. I understand blockchain is now increasingly being used also in the financial sector. That means in the banking and the non-banking finance industry. Blockchain reduces all processes to, maximum automation, including automatic invoicing and payment upon reaching the final destination. So in blockchain, you can even program things. So like, for example, if you want to say that money should be paid as soon as a material or a service is received. So as soon as in blockchain, it is triggered that you have already received the product or the service, the payment will be executed by the system. So this can be programmed. Or let us say that, for example, if you are purchasing a raw material and you have a payment terms of 60 days, and if this is programmed into the system, the moment the product is received in your system, on the 60th day, the payment will be made. So blockchain automates a lot of your processes and functions, which, you know, guarantees you security. At the same time, you know, it becomes error-free operation. Case studies. So the first one is an industry-wide problem in cargo shipment is a lack of communication, which affects shipping times. Blockchain, with its ability to provide shared information in real time, is a simple solution to this problem. So, you know, in shipping, when we talk of sea cargo, there are a lot of reasons why the shipment can be delayed. Sometimes there is a congestion at the port, because of which vessels have to wait, you know, midstream before they can berth and, you know, offload the containers or the cargo and take on the fresh cargo. So this, tracking has to be constantly done. And blockchain, you know, because of its ability, is being used for tracking the shipping times. SmartLog, a software, is in the process of researching and developing a proof of concept project that aims to cut the cargo unit transportation times. So by using this kind of information or technology, Smartlog is the software that they are, you know, in the prototyping stage or the proof of concept stage, where they will be able to predict, you know, if there is any congestion at a port, etc. And by taking appropriate decisions, they will be able to speed up the cargo times. That means the transit times can be shortened. The idea is to store shipment transactions on the Smartlog blockchain, track them using the IoT. IoT, you know, for things like the location or even storage parameters, if it is cold chain, etc. And automate the task using smart contracts. Smart contract is what we talked about, making payment, you know, if the conditions are fulfilled. So if you have received the material and if QA has flagged the material as accepted and okay, then the payment will be done. So this kind of smart contracts is possible in blockchain. So you can automate the task using IoT and the software, thereby bringing better organization and communication to the industry. Six organizations from four different countries are currently working on the project. So we are talking of this Smartlog project. This is one of the many blockchain IoT examples in which multiple organizations are teaming up to expand the technology. Because everyone understands the benefit resulting from such an initiative. So obviously the leading of organizations are investing in this kind of innovation, which once it is established, can be marketed to a wider group of people. Second case study, Australian telecom company Telstra is using blockchain paired with IoT to make its smart home system safer. As most smart homes currently rely on mobile app for control, a device infected with malware can lead to nefarious actors gaining control, because we know that there are a lot of apps, you know, which can infect your phone and take control of your phone, which means they can read your data. So if you are using some kind of a password or a number combination, numeric combination to open your door, etc., access your home, this can be read. So by uploading biometrics such as face or fingerprint recognition into blockchain, Telstra provides a safer and more secure network. So they are trying to make use of biometrics which cannot be easily replicated or duplicated. Digital transformation functionality. So digitalization is a way of introducing or improving business process with the help of digital technology. I mean, we have been talking about this since the start of the chapter. So digital transformation implies the total reorganization of the conventional business process through the adoption of digitalization. Very simple to understand. I will not spend time to explain further on this. For example, enabling an artificial intelligence solution or the Internet of Things is a method of digitalization. So we have seen how artificial intelligence, in terms of predicting your demand or selection of the route or planning of your logistics, how it can revolutionize your operation. The following changes in the existing business process will boost the digital transformation. So let's look at what are the changes that will change the industry, the logistics part of it. So digitalization of mobility. So what are the components of this? You have the access device. So access device here basically means the mobile or laptops or dedicated terminals which are used, you know, for entry or for reading of the information. Geospatial services. So this is real-time locational information. We are talking of GPS and other forms of locational information. Connectivity networks, so communication between elements of information system. So there are different systems, like for example, the e-commerce company has one IT system and the logistics company has another IT system. And the two systems, they actually interact with each other to exchange the information. So the information is available to you seamlessly. When you are tracking your package, you do not realize that the information is actually being fed to the e-commerce company from the logistics company's IT system. It is through the integration of these two systems that, or the data exchange which happens between them, that you are able to read the information. Open data exchanges, so data exchange between elements of the information system. Again, the same point. So first part is the two separate networks. The second part is the actual exchange of information which takes place between them. Integrated payments system, which settles the payment. So integrated system, when you have very complex operations like e-commerce and the logistics partners, they have got millions of transactions, you know, and for every transaction, there is amount to be paid to the logistics firm. So you cannot have a manual system where a human being, unlike in a company, you know, generally when there is a accounts payable department. So if raw material is received, somebody processes the information, he approves the transaction saying that yes, material has been received, it is in good condition, and this payment can be made to the vendor, or payment to logistics partner can be made. That's not possible when you are talking of a e-commerce company or this kind of a mass scale business. So there you have automated service where the freight charges, it's already defined how the freight will be charged, and automatically it is computed and these services are paid for by the cloud services. And the blockchain, which encrypts the transactions and events in a ledger, so which captures all the transactions in a very secured way. So contemporary mobility systems are supported by physical, digital information and regulatory rules. That is the foundations. So while physical, that is the infrastructure, and regulatory, that is governance, policies, compliance systems, taxation, etc., these are well understood. The digital dimension has considerably evolved in recent years with the introduction of a new information technology among the most significant. And what are those? Coming back to this point, contemporary mobility systems, which are supported by physical, digital, regulatory. So these are very easy to understand and they can be clearly defined in any digital system. These are something like the rules. Even when you make a sale, like for example, depending upon the item being sold, we clearly can say that it attracts so much of GST. Or what kind of a GST? Because GST, you have CGST, SGST, IGST. So these rules are clearly understood. Even in terms of infrastructure, you may have multiple warehouses, etc. So all these things are very easily defined and can be established. So let's go on to the more complex things. So when we are talking about new technologies, which add to the digital dimension. So the access devices, a whole array of computing devices such as computers and smartphones able to access telecommunication networks and retrieve, process and send information. So we already said this, right? That mobile devices, laptops, and you can use the normal telecommunication network. So by using Wi-Fi or by using the mobile data, you can actually access this data, you can process information, retrieve information, and also you can send because you can take actions, so that is the send information. Geospatial services. So computing devices able to provide real-time locational information that can be used for a variety of purpose, including vehicle tracking and navigation. So we talked about GPS. We said that tracking is basically the actual location, and the navigation is, you know, which is the shortest or the best route or the quickest route to a destination or to a intersection point. They can also include other sensors that can be used to supply visual information. Other information like what? So we said temperature, pressure, humidity, speed. For example, in Google Map, when you are going from one place to another, Google predicts what time you'll be able to reach the other place. And how does it do that? There are so many Android users who are moving on the road. It basically integrates the velocity or the speed at which various vehicles are moving. And based on that, it calculates how much time you will actually take to reach your destination. So it could be that there is a patch where the speeds could be as high as 80 kilometers, and there are patches where the speed could be as low as 10 kilometers per hour. But by integrating this, it very accurately tells you what time you should be expecting to reach your destination. So this is another part of the navigation, or when we talk of other sensors. So here the sensor is speed. Also, you know, there are other visual information such as optical character recognition. So that means there are smart systems which can even recognize optical characters. I know for sure systems, when we are talking artificial intelligence, we'll come to that. Even in big data, you are recognizing information which is coming from social media. Not only that, but from documents. Now, in documents, the information is not in a structured form as the system understands, computers understand. An invoice could be different for different companies, but there are today systems which can read the invoice and understand that which is the product information, which is the price information, which is the tax information, and which is the gross amount. Also, what kind of taxes have been applied. So that means it not only reads the character, it not only understands the printed character, but it also can capture this information and transfer it into a digital form which the computer understands or the digital system understands. So recognition or environmental processing. Or attribute information, temperature, pressure, humidity, we've covered that. Connectivity networks. So a range of telecommunication systems enabling components of the information system to communicate, which include wired and wireless networks. So we already saw this, that there are networks which may be, you know, like for example, you're accessing GPS information, which is a wireless information. You're accessing logistics providers information, which is a wired information which you may be receiving through the internet, and you have your own information. So there are various networks which can be accessed. Open data exchanges, a set of standards allowing information exchange and storage that can be handled by all devices. So there are informations exchange, like for example, when we talk of electronic data interchange, EDI, like for example, you transfer the information to a custom server, it understands exactly the data which has been transferred. So in terms of what is the product, the country it is coming from, what is the classification of the product, everything can be understood. And the system then keeps on analyzing and adding more data as to like what will be the custom duty it will attract, what will be the GST that will be imposed on the particular item, etc. So the data has to be in a recognizable form. Also, what we talked about, the optical character recognition and reading of forms, like for example, if invoices coming from customers, how this information can be captured in a smart way so that without the intervention of a human being, you can read the information and store it in a form that can be processed digitally by the organization. Integrated payments, a system that allows companies such as financial institutions to settle transactions such as contracts, purchases, tolls, or fares. So toll we have already seen, we have got the FASTag system. Fare, I can't think of an example readily, but as far as the purchases are concerned or the contracts are concerned, two examples we have seen. One is the blockchain, where you can make smart contracts which will execute an action based on the fulfillment of the conditions. And the other example which comes to mind will be the e-commerce, the payment of the freight charges. So when there are hundreds and thousands of items being shipped out, the amount which is payable, it's more like a transaction, it's how on every sale the GST is captured and stored, and this information is then used to collate for making returns, like for example GST returns, etc. The information is automated, so it creates the GST return files and uploads it to the government server. Likewise here, it collects the freight information depending upon the freight providers, because it will be not one single freight provider, logistics provider. It will be numerous people, and based on the services offered, it will compute and actually make the transactions. Cloud services, a distributed network of servers able to offer massive storage, retrieval, and processing of data. So this we saw. We talked about Amazon, we talked about Microsoft, we talked about Google, who have the cloud servers or cloud computing, where the data is spread across the geographies, and you do not know where your data is stored, but your data is very much intact, secured, and safe. Blockchain, we also discussed how blockchain helps in securing your data, making it very accurate, recording the transactions, and allowing you to track the transaction. So an encrypted ledger system able to accurately record events and transactions into records called as blocks.